One of my proudest efforts at the Academy, really that dates back to before I was elected president, is to foster an international presence for the Motion Picture Academy. My focus has been to seek out great filmmakers all around the world to invite them to be members of the Academy. What's resulted was a kind of a growth of the filmmakers community, really where the Academy is meant to be, right? I mean, Academies, going back to their founding, it really is a group of people with a certain degree of passion and expertise and knowledge that want to get together and share, right? I mean, that's, I think, what Academies are all about. So the fact that I've been helpful in spurring the Motion Picture Academy on to becoming a more international and global enterprise is a source of great satisfaction for me, because I think it's important. It's not us versus them, it's everybody doing it together. And I think that in order to really understand what excellence is in film is to really look at a huge variety of kinds of films, to look for a much wider lens, to look at international films, to look at experimental films, to look at true independent films.
So then as I'm writing these other lines coming out, but it was not my intention. I did not set out to do it. Once the admission is made in the poem, though, it becomes easier to work with because I didn't set out to do it. It feels more like a responsibility for the poem more than it is for me. Also, part of the joy of what we do, you know, is discovery. Part of the joy of what we do is surprise. Part of the joy of what we do is that you sit down, you write a few words, and suddenly you see something, you see yourself say something you didn't expect to say. And so you sort of follow that thread, and then you say another thing you didn't expect to say. One of the things I say to them is that our job as writers is to write what will become cliche. Not to write cliches, but to be original enough that we make something that people are still saying. That we say the thing that characterizes thought on a subject for hundreds of years to come. And if that's what you're doing, that's pretty powerful. You're in a position of power. I have to understand what I'm doing when I'm doing it. And I think it feels like it to me, what I'm doing when I'm writing a poem is making a world. And if I can stick to that, then I have to believe that once a poem is out in the world, another world has been made. Another way of living, another way of thinking, another way of seeing things. One single poem is a way of seeing things. If I believe that, I mean, I'm saying stuff like that all the time, but if I believe that and I'm a person who made the damn poem, I'm a person of power.
You know, I've been through moments where you just look, you don't think there's a way out and you don't think there's light at the end of the tunnel. And that's a tough place to be. And we've seen with so many creatives, especially, that they give so much of themselves. I don't think people really understand how much you give as a creative in many respects. It's exhausting. Life is exhausting. But when you're going that extra mile, it takes that much more out of you. So, you know, I think the highs are higher and the lows are lower. One of the things that I've been really focusing on is finding that balance in life, that what's real and what's true and what makes you happy. How can you help other people feel the same, have a happier life? So if that's charity, if that's photography, if that's documentary, if that's music, and I can do it, then I'm gonna do it.
I think if we're lucky in our lives, we can choose the path that we want to go down, whether it's something creative or in the arts or something else. And I think if you're lucky, you can spend your life or your career following something you really love, or spending time following the path, or you could, whether it's a hobby or your career, and spending that time paying the attention that the craft or the creative pursuit wants. I think intention has a lot to do with it. There's certainly a lot of technical things and like a bag of tricks that as a cinematographer, you learn some of these tricks and how to light people or what lenses to use and things like that. But at the end of the day, those are just tools. And I think if the intention is to show some aspect of the character or to make them look great in a certain way or to make them look heroic or to convey that they're downtrodden or down on their luck in a subtle kind of a way. Just, I think it does start with that intention, just like an actor has to define what their intention are within a scene. I think it's the same in cinematography. And one of the things we do is we break down the script and go scene by scene and shot by shot. And I think it's important to have a sense of the emotion within characters or stories and to be as specific as possible what you're trying to convey in a certain scene.
I reread books that have really changed the way I look at the world. And that's what, for example, literature, there's research showing that it can give us this feeling of awe and being moved and, yeah, this sort of joy that have a transformative effect on us. So aesthetic emotions, as they are called, might also happen as in response to a nature episode or a building like Sagrada Familia or something, where you feel so small and feel awe. And these transformative experiences are easy to have with the arts when you find this painting or thing that really does have that effect on you. And that might have different effects through your life. And so it's definitely, it has been books and paintings, some of the paintings of Picasso, particularly for me, which then intersects with difficulty of understanding more about who the artist was. And I do speak about that in my book, The Pathway to Flow. And even if maybe the artist is dead, there might be implications of consuming artworks, understanding where they came from and who was the creator and in which context. And then dances that we did ourselves. So moments where, yeah, actually there were absolute synchrony and like really disappearing into the, I don't know, music world movement. I can't really describe it. These out-of-body experiences, usually not on stage. They happen in dungeons or discos, maybe to some people, or during rehearsals where something suddenly converges. Then the drawing experience that I had, that was my real way back. I had read about Turner, funny enough, of how he just did pencil strokes. And for some reason, I found that and came back to drawing myself, where I was gone for 6 hours, apparently, and did not realize it. And musical pieces through the years. That's a very powerful experience. Yeah.
I think you, as a young person, just sort of finding your way, and, you know, again, I didn't set my sights on casting. I was open to really whatever came along. And as it turned out, the thing that came along very early for me, I could have stayed in the production side of things. I could have continued in the vein of what I did on Saturday Night Live, be on a production team or a television show. The fact that casting presented itself and connected with me so personally was a fortunate turn of events. And I think that very often younger people have to sample quite a bit before they sort of find their spot, find a niche, find the thing where all of the sort of personal attributes and skills that you've had from an early age until then somehow clicked with a particular profession. And it happens often quite late for people. I think the joy is that it comes eventually. You know, you just don't know when it is. And I understand when young people are impatient and frustrated with the fact that they haven't found their path, but a little patience goes a long way in that regard. And truthfully, each adventure along the way either teaches you what you don't want to do, or teaches you how you do or don't want to behave and act in professional circumstances. So if you're open to experiences, I think you can learn as much from the negative ones as the positive ones. And then eventually, hopefully, you'll be in a position to create a positive experience for others.
The Creative Process Podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation. We hope you've enjoyed this program. To hear more from these guests, listen to their full interviews. These interviews were conducted by Mia Funk with the participation of collaborating universities and students. This episode was produced by Mia Funk and Tom Logan. Associate interviews producer on this episode was Sophie Garnier. If you'd like to get involved with our creative community, exhibitions, podcasts, or submit your creative works for review, just drop us a line at team@creativeprocess.info. Thanks for listening.